Friends in Jesus, grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The words I'd like to consider with you are from the Gospel reading from Luke chapter 4. Jesus had healed Simon Peter's mother-in-law, and he had spent the night healing all of the people of their diseases and casting out the demons. We begin in verse 42 then. At daybreak, Jesus went out to a solitary place. The people were looking for him, and they came to him where he was, and they tried to keep him from leaving them. But he said, I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God to other towns also, because that is why I was sent. And he kept on preaching in the synagogues of Judea. This is our text. Please be seated. To preach. Verb, intransitive. One, to deliver a sermon, to proclaim. Two, to give earnest advice. Three, to do this in an obtrusive or tedious way. Here endeth the reading of my office dictionary. Why do you always preach to me? Says the incensed teenager who believes that her parents, by talking to her, are intruding in her life and meddling in her affairs. Or maybe you catch yourself going off forcefully on some subject, and then all of a sudden you realize you're hogging the conversation, and you say, oh, sorry about being so preachy. I even caught myself saying something like that this past week, and then I thought to myself, hey, wait a minute, I'm a preacher. Preaching is what I do for a living. Why do I make excuses for being preachy? And why is it that my profession gets the bad rap like that? I mean, you don't ever hear a car mechanic say, oh, excuse me for tuning up your engine. Or you don't ever hear a carpenter say, oh, sorry about being so hammery. I have always wanted to say to Miss Redding, my goodness, you're awfully teachy today. But preachy? Now we can do with a lot less of that. A homily will suffice, or perhaps a message, or a sermonette, which yields Christianettes. But save the sermon. Don't preach to me. Besides, by what authority do you presume to tell me anything? And yet, preaching was the whole point of Jesus' ministry, wasn't it? And we might easily forget that as we read our gospel text today. All of the excitement about silencing demons and casting them out and speaking to a fever in Simon Peter's mother-in-law, and the fever leaves her. All night long, Jesus is silencing more demons and he's healing all of the diseases of the people. By sunrise, he is absolutely exhausted and he tries to get away to a quiet place for some downtime. But the people keep following him and they press him for more and more because it is, after all about the miracles, right? But Jesus, when he is pressed by the crowd, corrects that kind of thinking. He does not say to them, I must do more miracles. But instead, at the end of it all, he says in verse 43, I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God to other towns also, because that is why I was sent. And he kept on preaching in the synagogues. Jesus had come to preach. To proclaim the good news that the kingdom of God was now present in the person and in the flesh and blood, well, of himself. Jesus was not just a preacher that was delivering a sermon. Jesus is the sermon. He is the word of the Father, now in flesh appearing, sent forth by the authority of God the Father to preach. To preach a good news that is so good that it ought to tingle your ears with a tingle that goes all the way down to your toes. It ought to amaze you and leave you in wonderment as it did the people who marveled at his authority. Because the news is that you are reconciled to God through his Son. You are free from the guilt that condemns you. You are free from the death that frightens you. You are free from the demons that terrorize you. And you are free from the diseases that threaten you. free from everything that would bind you, past, present, and future. But then someone objects and says, wait a minute, I don't get that sense of freedom that those people in this reading got when they were healed and when they benefited from Jesus' miracle. Where's my miracle so that I can feel that freedom? So let's take just a little time here this morning to unpack these miracles and to see what they are really teaching us. Because what we discover here is that the miracles are not the main thing. The miracles were performed only to uphold and to undergird and to validate Jesus' preaching. The preaching is the main thing. And so the first thing we see in these miracles is just how personal our Lord's ministry to us really is. You know, Jesus once said that he knows his sheep individually by name. And he seeks each one out as though it were the most important sheep in the flock. And now these miracles uphold that kind of preaching. You notice when Jesus does these miracles, he does not do any mass healings. He never just waves his hands over a crowd and says to them all, be healed. He heals them one at a time. He deals with each one of them personally. He lays hands on each one of them, even if it takes all night long to get it done. In the same way, he pays a house call to Simon Peter's mother-in-law, and he comes to her bedside. And in that moment, as he is standing over her sickbed, she has the undivided attention of the Lord and the Creator of this universe. It's just her and him. Well, just like when you were baptized. That moment when God's word and his promise were addressed just to you, by name. You and only you. You and the Savior in your baptism. Just like when you come to Holy Communion. That moment when the body and the blood of Christ touch your lips. Not the lips of the person next to you, your lips. And you hear those words, given for you, shed for you. And it's just you and the Lord. You and your Savior. And so Jesus preached, by the authority of the Father who created you in your mother's womb, who knew you before you were born, who loves you as though you were the only child of his, who calls you by name, who even knows how many hairs are on your head. So precious are you. He would have sent his son to die were you the only one who needed his saving. And the second thing we see in these miracles is that they show us something about the nature of disease. Notice that when Jesus deals with the fever of Simon Peter's mother-in-law, he rebukes it in the very same way that he rebuked the demons. Because to Jesus, you see, it's all the same thing. Demons, disease, death, it's all foreign to God's creation. It was not supposed to be this way. These things are the direct result, the direct consequence of sin in our world, of our fall into sin. When Adam and Eve rebelled against God and they disobeyed him, they let the camel's nose into the tent. They let death into the creation, and we've had to live with it ever since. Now, every cold, every sniffle, every flu virus, every cancer cell, every clogged artery is a sign of our impending death. The psalmist said it well. You, O Lord, you have made us like sheep for the slaughter. And so those arthritic joints, those gallstones, those swollen ankles, those headaches, they are all, shall we say, healthy reminders to us that by virtue of our rebellion, we too have been marked for the slaughter. Conversely, every healing that we experience, every disease that we get past, every surgery that we recover from, every accident in which our life is preserved, is like a little resurrection that takes place in our life. You ever have that feeling? You get up one morning after you've been fighting a cold and you suddenly realize, hey, I'm breathing better again. It's almost gone. It's like a little resurrection in your life, reminding you that God, in His mercy and by the blood of His Son, has also marked you for something so much greater. Now you might ask, well, if Jesus really loves us, then why doesn't He just heal everyone right away on the spot? Why doesn't He just wipe out all the diseases today? Wipe out AIDS and cancer and Parkinson's. He could do it. Why doesn't He? Why doesn't He do it for me? You want to know the short answer? The short answer is that healing was never His trump suit. Preaching is. Healing is just a band-aid. And those who receive the healing are going to get sick one day, and that day they will not recover from that sickness, and they will pay the wages of sin, which is death. It is the Word that gives life. It is preaching that gives life. By the Word of God made flesh, God is not merely trying to fix up old things with band-aid therapy. He is instead making all things brand new again. And so Jesus preaches with the authority of the Heavenly Father who sent Him, not merely to put band-aids on your boo-boos, but far, far better than that, to make you brand new through the complete salvation purchased by Christ on the cross. Behold, I am making all things new, Jesus said. The miracles, those were just object lessons. Those were just signs of a greater healing that God in Christ has worked for all humanity. The main thing is the preaching of the salvation that begins with the forgiveness of our sins and ends with the resurrection of glorified bodies, when we will finally be free. And please don't think to yourself that sickness is some kind of a sign of God's special wrath against you, any more than you would think of health and wholeness as a sign of His special favor toward you. Remember that on that day when Simon Peter's mother-in-law arose from her sick bed and made sandwiches, that there were also thousands of other little old ladies all around Israel who had fevers that Jesus did not rebuke, and they were not healed. Did He reject them? Did He forget them? Did He let them down? Ignore them? No! Jesus came for them just as much as He came for any person He ever healed. The miracles that He did were object lessons and signs of a much, much greater healing that He wants to give to all of you, whether or not you are healed physically. But He wants to raise you from death. He doesn't want to make you bulletproof from diseases. He wants to make you death-proof. That's the healing that's really important, that really counts. Well, I've been a little preachy again, haven't I? But no apologies, I guess, because preaching the good news is what Jesus came to do. And it's what He sent me to do, because it's in the preaching with the authority of God that we find true and eternal health and wholeness for our souls and our bodies. Until then, do understand this. God will use your viruses and your cancer cells and your self-inflicted ailments and all of your diseases and your aches and your pains to try to drive you to repentance and to seek the ultimate healing that He wants to give you. He would use all of those things to drop you to your knees until you drop dead to your old way of life and trust instead in His dead and risen Son. And so, by the authority of the Heavenly Father and by His Christ, be ye healed. In the name of Jesus, amen.